compensation as a teacher in 1940. In 1947, he became the principal at Gate Lot Avenue. After the district centralized, he was named supervisor of principals and then became the superintendent of schools. For 20 years, he steadfastly led the district with foresight, courage, and dignity. He was mindful of the students and the staff that he respected so much. The school district is a lasting monument to his legacy of exceptional leadership. Although Mr. Dunham retired in 1975, he was still an active participant in the Sachem community and will be deeply missed by all. Our thoughts and prayers are with Mr. Dunham's family, especially his grandchildren that he spoke of about so lovingly. I had the privilege of seeing Mr. Dunham. It was a couple of weeks before he passed away. I saw him like 2 days before he passed, and the conversation that I had with him was really what he was all about. You know, he was in Farmingville, right by the Hampton Inn, in that nursing home right over on North Ocean Avenue and the expressway. And he was so happy that he was going to be in the Sachem School District. And he said to me, you know, Mike, I'm going to, this is going to be my last home before I pass away, and I'm going to be in Sachem. And he also remembered that the high school was so close by, so he was so happy. He was the one who bought that land up there, you know, to build that high school. So he had a lot of foresight, and he really was a person who loved this school district. So please keep him in your thoughts and prayers. He's with his wife of 67 years, Mary, who passed away about a year before he did. So please keep them in your prayers. Thank you. One other thing about Mr. Dunham. I know a number of people have called me in the past, and I know Charlie's been asked the same question. You know, are they going to do anything? Is there going to be a memorial service or something? And that's really in the hands of his family. They called me, a couple of days ago. I spoke to Mr. Dunham's grandson, and Mr. Dunham's daughter is planning something. And as soon as we know about it, we'll make it known to everyone in Sachem, in the Sachem community, and I'm sure we'll have something on the website. So it really is appropriate to let his family be the ones who come forth and tell us what they'd like to do. So we will keep you informed, folks. But thank you for asking. Are there any visitors? No visitors. Okay. Action items. You're on, Carol.
Okay. Approval of a stipulation of settlement. Of agreement.
Can I have a motion,
sorry,
please? Who is that, John? Second by... Thank you, Rob. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of an add change order number 1, Annex General Contracting for Somerset Middle School.
Can I have a motion, please? Rob Scavo. Thank you, Rob. Second?
Second.
John Siegel. Was that John? Oh, Tony. I'm sorry. Tony Falco. Thank you, Tony. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Approval of Industrial UI Unemployment Cost Management Service Agreement.
Can I have a motion, please? John Siegel, second. Douglas, thank you, Doug. Any questions? Yes. Deborah. You keep us in suspense, Deborah.
What I'm not too convinced of is whether or not this is going to be a cost-saving measure to the district. However, I do commend Denise and Bruce for taking a proactive approach that could possibly save us money. From the information that I received, it's going to cost us twice as much to bring this firm on to handle our unemployment insurance claims. And I'm really not too sure of what their successes are. I see that we've spoken with, you know, two other school districts, and they spoke highly of them, but they really didn't speak about their cost effectiveness. And neither did the company itself provide us with any type of information of, you know, the costs that they've been able to save districts over the years. So I'm just wondering if we did receive that information.
Bruce, you want to address that, please?
Yes, simply that the attorney fees, which are extras with the other firm, one bill alone could have been $9,000 or $9,500, which is included with this company.
Okay, it's included with this company. But
they go to unemployment hearings on our behalf.
But it's not necessarily
to fight these cases.
Not necessarily an attorney, though. Just a representative,
Bruce?
The same as the other company.
If we need an attorney, they would provide it. They've actually been working with Denise already, and they are far superior in defending us.
Okay.
1 second, please. Gail, did you want to add something?
The new company, one of the things that we have liked about it is they've already provided us with very proactive strategies to use in some of our cases. They're a little bit more aggressive than the prior company that we had used. They were a little bit more passive. Certainly what Bruce has already stated about the attorney fees is definitely to our advantage. There's no additional cost that's included in the fee. The reference checks that were completed with the other districts have been extremely positive. They're extremely satisfied, and they had actually used, in both cases, the company that we're currently contracted with, the company that we're recommending terminating the services.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. I do appreciate that information, and it was provided here in this documentation. But again, you know, I'm not too convinced that we have enough information, but be that as it may, you know, I'm going to go along with my colleagues, or whichever the way the board shall move, but ask Charlie if we could possibly, you know, do what we've done in the past. Let's keep a record of the, you know, unemployment cases in which they've been successful and the amount of money that we've been able to, you know, to save the cost savings. And if we could get a report of that maybe in, you know, 6 months, let's take a look at where we are. And the question is this a year-by-year contract? So we'll be approving them every year? Or
Yes.
It has to be.
Okay. So, I mean, is that feasible, Charlie, that, you know, we get some sort of feedback?
I'll put something away, and we'll revisit in June.
That'll be great. Thank you so much.
Charlie, the board just sent a monthly report. One was sent in last week's package. Unemployment is a one-line item. You can see it every month, the expenses that are coded. So the board does receive that information monthly.
Thank you. Are there any other questions, folks? Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Can I have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you. Discussions and presentations, elementary direction, vision update.
Mr. Boddy, board trustees, and Dr. Murphy, I want to take this opportunity to update you on many of the fine attributes of the elementary program, as well as the direction that we're headed in the next year and over the years to follow. One of the areas that we've been focusing on this year and really has been our primary focus has been the literacy program, and this will continue to be in 07-08. We've made many gains thus far, especially in the past 2 years, but we still have far to go. We've some important components to note at this point. As you know, we've put in place the Harcourt Trophies reading program. In 05-06, it went into the K-1 classes, and then this present school year, it was added to the second and third grade program. We've had much staff development for the teachers in those areas. Harcourt has been extremely supportive in that area with no additional cost. It really came with the program when we paid for it initially. But our teachers had asked for more support in that area this year. In the K-1, they came and looked at some of the different assessment materials and really guided them in some of the remedial pieces, which have been very effective. To support the staff development with Harcourt, we've also been doing some of our own staff development with Joan Herman, one of our literacy coaches. She has worked with the K-2 staff over the past few years in the area of Writer's Workshop. She presents lessons to the teachers in a specific format and then follows up by going in their classrooms to do some co-teaching lessons and really see how effective it's been, and that has been extremely positive. One of the things that I've been able to take a look at, and I'll put together a memo for you and the superintendent in your next packet, is some of the data that we've been collecting from the half-day K program, from going from half-day K to full-day K, as well as implementing the Harcourt and some of the staff development in the area of literacy. And just some things to be very proud of. In the, just by those things in itself, we've almost doubled where our first graders are reading in November. From November of 04, where those students did not have full day K, to November of 06, we've almost doubled the number of kids moving and being able to read. Just at that point, we see more gains in second grade, and then we kind of see it level off in third, because we haven't had those programs, and the full-day K, certainly those students didn't receive that. So, I mean, just in that in itself, we can be very proud. We do need to take a look at our 3-5 literacy program. Although Harcourt was put into third grade this year, we kind of look at the 3, 4, and 5 as one group. We've put a committee together, Veronica DeChico, the principal for Cayuga, will be co-chairing that committee along with Joan Herman, our literacy coach. And additionally, Joan Herman's already been working on the 3-5 program by writing some of the curriculum in her. She's presently right now, she's a half-day staff developer and also co-teaching lessons in the morning. In the afternoon part of her day, she has been writing some of the lessons and putting some support materials in place for 3-5 for next year. We will continue that project over the summer, but it's something that we need to place some emphasis, and based on the data that we're getting back, that certainly supports it. One of the things that I just want to go over today is Joan Herman's position. She has been pushing into the classrooms. She's been in each school about 10 days. She's been at 6 schools at this point in the school year, but she spent about 10 days pushing into the K-1 classes and really working with the teachers on their needs. They come to her and say, you know, I need you to help me with word walls. I need you to help me with my guided reading groups. And recently I've been meeting with some of the new teachers and some of the TAs who have taken some of the leave replacement positions. And across the board, the teachers have said that has been the most favorable help to them as a new teacher. Just by that person coming in, that job-embedded staff development, they've been able to make growth and not really feel like somebody's been looking at them or evaluating them. It's somebody that co-teaches and can work alongside of them. So that has been very positive. Along with Joan Herman, as you know, the superintendent has proposed to look at literacy coaches in the next budget. 6 elementary coaches would certainly go a long way at the elementary program. They would be shared between 2 elementary schools, 1 coach shared between 2 elementary schools. Along with doing what Joan Herman's doing right now, they would also take a look at the data for the entire school and work on some curriculum mapping. That is an area that we haven't really spent any time on, but we need to. When we look at what's being taught in kindergarten and what's being taught at fifth grade, there are many gaps. And by our test scores on New York State Language Arts Assessment, although they're good, 75% of our third graders are meeting the standard or exceeding it, as well as fourth and fifth, 77%, we can do better. And I think when we look at our curriculum and look at what's being taught as much as what I'd like to teach, I think we can make a lot of gains in that area as well. Some additional support. We're going to look through working with special ed, a partnership with special ed on the RTI model. I know Paul Stellino will spend some time in speaking with you about that. But one of the things that we're looking for next year is having six speech teachers, not an additional cost in the budget, but just kind of realigning some of their job responsibilities to push into the kindergarten classes to work on some of the speech components and the phonological awareness that we see as a weakness and where kids really struggle in terms of their reading skills. The speech teachers at this time in the initial proposal will be in each classroom 2 hours a week, and it'll be a push-in service, so kids will not be pulled out, and they'll work in those classrooms from September through January. In January, the children that are still struggling with the phonological awareness skills will then get some more intense instruction through possibly the Foundation's reading program, and then that can be either push-in or pull-out service, or one day push-in, one day pull-out. And we're hoping to just catch the kids early on. Early intervention research certainly says that early intervention can really help children not to be classified and put in a location. And we're looking at to meet their needs through services, push-in services. Additionally, if the children continue to struggle in first grade, we can look at two different programs. We can look at Foundations or what we presently have, Reading Recovery. But we'll take a look at using assessments to determine which program is better for them. And then we still have our remedial reading teachers who we're not looking to eliminate those services as well to continue to support the children along the way. In the proposal that I put together for you as well is summer school. If we take a look at summer school, presently we've had summer school in K-1. We're looking to expand it to second grade next year to really support additional students, especially before the third grade ELA. Last summer we had very good attendance at the K-1 program, but there were many children who qualified but did not attend. So we are looking to expand even the K-1 program for the spots that weren't used up for other children who just may not have qualified but could have used some additional reading support over the summer. In terms of mathematics, as you know, our scores have far exceeded some of the Long Island districts as well as Nassau County. Grade 3, our scores were in the 95th percentile, 4th 92nd percentile, and 5th 86th percentile. We've also participated in the math study this year for grade 1, and that has been extremely well received. The teachers have been very excited about all the programs, but two programs are standing out at this point. Investigations and Saxon Math are two programs that we're looking at more closely. We've been agreed to be part of the study for a year, which will end this June. As part of the study, we've had staff development for all of our first grade teachers throughout the year. No matter what program they've been involved in, all of them have said they've seen a difference in the way their children have been performing. And they said they're just building a better or stronger foundation for math literacy. I just put together a survey along with one of our math teachers to take a closer look ourselves, rather than waiting for all the data back from Mathematica, which really won't come back for another year. so I think we can do our own assessment as to which program is best for our students here at this point. And then look to purchase a program for the start of next school year. I've met with Saxon Math at this time for a proposal for the textbooks, K-5, and I'm waiting for one from the Math Investigations Program. We need to also just take a look at their intermediate programs to see how they fit with some of the state standards, as well as what we call pre- and post-March skills, how they align. And that's something that we need to take a closer look at before we make a decision. We'll put a committee together of teachers and principals in the next few weeks, which brings me now to science. Science is another area that we've been doing very well in. On the state assessments, we scored in the 86th percentile on that test. This year, we kind of revisited the old model where we had a teacher facilitate the program. So Kristen Broadbent, a sixth grade teacher from Sequoia, works part of her day teaching science, and then in the morning she facilitates the ESP science program that we use. She works alongside the principal's aide, Bridget Henry, to host several staff developments. She pushes into the schools, and that has been extremely effective. We're looking at two science programs, not for next year, because if we're going to look to purchase a new math program, it would be too much to bring to the teachers all at one time, especially when we're asking them to focus on the literacy component. So we're looking at two different math programs, which will give us some time to really look at them more in depth, Science 21 and Science K-12. Both programs, again, have been very well received by districts, and we are having a presentation by both the companies to some of the elementary principals in February. My future vision for the elementary program is to incorporate science teachers into the elementary school. I know this certainly can't be done right now, but if we're asking elementary teachers to focus on the literacy piece, they're not getting to science as much as they should be. It's always put on the back burner, or something we'll get to, or this month we'll do science, next month we'll do social studies, and it's something that we need to spend more time on. So if we had a science teacher in each of the elementary schools to deliver the instruction, the children would get it more consistently, and better delivery of services in terms of them being able to put all the manipulatives out, set up the stations, and revisit that on a more regular basis. I know it's something down the road, but it's certainly a goal of mine. Thanks, Dr. Murphy. Technology is another area we've been working closely with Jack Renda. Teachers are very excited about the new smart boards that we have in the elementary schools. Presently, we have two smart boards for each elementary school. We definitely need more of those because they're in high demand, and we're actually hosting a smart board workshop for all new teachers next week. And I'd have to say it's probably the new teacher workshop that I haven't had too many people say they can't make it to. Some of the principals have added, as part of their building goals, to when they're doing their visitations to the classrooms for their observations, that the teachers are incorporating the smart boards and further technology into those lessons to make sure they are being utilized. Jack and I have reached out to some of the local organizations like Computer Associates and Symbol to see if they can work in partnership with funding some additional smart boards, and some of the money from the Cesar Trunzo grant has gone to that as well. So we're pretty excited about that. Some of our new teachers have become pretty proficient on them and are hosting some of the staff development workshops just on their own as a volunteer basis for teachers to come. So that's working out quite well. Our health curriculum at the elementary level, as you have noted by my note, needs to be updated. In taking a look at that, some parts of it, the personal safety hasn't been updated since 1986, the AIDS curriculum since 1997. So we are going to reconvene the AIDS advisory committee and work with Gary Butel and some of the health teachers to revise the curriculum over the summer. We'll have some elementary teachers on that as well as two health teachers. It's certainly something that changes a little more rapidly than since 1986 and 1997, but it's something that's feasible. And looking at the textbooks that we have, that's something that has been purchased in the past 5 years, so we would not have to purchase additional textbooks. The ones that we have are fine, but we just need to actually write a curriculum that meets, that works hand-in-hand with the textbooks that we have. Additionally, staff development has been an area that we've spent a lot of time on this year by just trying to make use of the resources that we've had. But it certainly is a key component to the model schools that we visited, and we really need to continue to share best practices for our staff. And as noted by Joan Terman's job-embedded staff development, that's where we've seen the most success. We had some people come in from BOCES this year to work on listening skills, K to 5, actually 2 through 5, but we're going to bring her back next year to work K through 5. And a lot, just some of the simplest things can improve instruction, and she really provided a lot of strategies for the teachers just before the ELA in November. And I was meeting with a group of third grade teachers from Winona the other day, and they just said how effective some of the strategies were, and they've seen just on the listening component of the ELA how effective that was. So those are some of the things that we've been working on at this point, but we, like I said, we do have far to go, and the literacy and math component will be our area of focus for the 07-08 school year.
Thank you, Jill. Does anyone have any questions for Jill? Go ahead, Rob.
Jill, I was at that meeting with Mr. Salino, and I have to say, along with Ms. Sinkowski and Mr. Falco, how impressed we were with what a strong special ed program we do have and all the services that we do provide. I spoke with Dr. Murphy. My only concern, early intervention is a great, great program. I know how successful it is, even with some of the districts, some of our surrounding districts. I'm just concerned about the one thing is reassignment of six speech teachers. And my concern is that we're going to spread the speech teachers very thin, okay, in the special ed, you know, division of SAGEM. Have we given any thought about implementing, you know, a pilot program, you know, for early intervention and reevaluating that pilot program at the end of 1 year and look to expand it opposed to just, you know, reassigning six speech teachers? Because to me that seems like a lot.
I actually was speaking with Dolores Finstock, who coordinates the speech teachers today, about how they were looking at in reassigning staff. Most of the staff are being, some of it's due to scheduling at the secondary level in taking a look at the student schedules and not just saying, okay, the student can go six period, so then they're getting a speech service on a one-to-one service where they could have been in a group. If we took a look at the schedule when really on their IEP, they are in a group, but they're not getting group services because that was the only student that fit that six period. So some of it really can be tweaked just by looking at a schedule alone. And when that's when I say, you know, taking a look at services, they also have to look at the speech mandates as to what we're required to give students. I believe we are giving additional services at the secondary level that most school districts, island-wide, do not provide those services at the secondary level that we do. But in terms of the pilot, when Dolores was speaking with her speech staff, she is looking at part of this to be a pilot over a two-year period to see what kind of impact it makes in 2 years. And then, Rob, we still have more work to do in this area. And I mean, we're just in the early stages of framing this out, but taking a look at, you know, would it be the speech teachers coming down from the high school who would deliver the services, or would it be those speech teachers who are already in the school, in the elementary schools, and the other people kind of pick up the other kids? So we are taking a look at just the different models and what would work best with the least amount of impact to students who are already required get speech services.
Okay. And Rob, when I spoke with Mr. Salino recently, he thinks that that reassignment of 6 speech teachers may have been a little bit too ambitious when he started off, and I don't think he'll be reassigning at 6 people this time. There may be some rehires because of for the additional staffing to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and regarding the science program that you want, your future vision, what would it take to implement a pilot program there, as far as maybe starting with just a couple of schools to see how it works and the effects on that? And then maybe if it is a success, moving forward with, you know, introducing more science teachers in the following year.
That's certainly something that we consider. You know, to have 12 science teachers across the district would be about $780,000 plus the cost of a new program. As I'm sure you read in the memo, yes, we would save money in some areas because we wouldn't be buying the supplies for every single teacher. We would only be buying it for the grade level, as, you know, they can reuse the measuring cups and some, mm-hmm. and the balance scales and things along those lines over and over again for every grade level. But it certainly would be a significant cost, but certainly, you know, looking at it, you know, in maybe a feeder pattern or, you know, for the schools is definitely, you know, a possibility, and I definitely will share that with the other staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Jill, just a quick question on when you put your math committee together, will you have people from the middle school there also? So there's continuity in, you know, in the program.
I met with Paul Kopp and some of the middle school math teachers today, and we're going to take a look at, especially at the 5th grade to 6th grade math program.
Will they sit on the committee, though, one or someone
in,
from
in terms of, we are going to just share the materials with them, but they weren't going to be directly on the committee.
Okay.
They're just going to meet with the math people that we have district-wide.
Okie dokie. Thank you. Thanks for your presentation. We're done. Are there any visitors? Yes? No? No? Before, you know, one thing. Hang on. Did you fill out a form to speak? Do you have something? You can speak on whatever subject you want at this point. Yeah. Excuse me?
Would you like me to fill a form in?
I'd like you to fill out a form and put your name and phone number on it. Can someone get one form, please, out there?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Kevin Maccabee. We're here to address several issues with the school district. First being, my two sons are enrolled in the school district, Justice and Dakota. Both have special needs. Currently, I don't reside with them. They reside with their mother. Their mother moved into the school district, unbeknownst to me, a short time ago, and had several meetings regarding their education. I was not advised of any meetings that occurred, and just recently found out she did reside in this district. I did call the office of Mr. Stellino, and ask for copies of my son's academic record. Initially, I spoke to a woman and was advised, without any research being done into this situation, I do not reside with the children, and I am not entitled to have any records.
Before you go any further, I don't know what your, you know, what your agreement is with your wife, you know, what your attorneys worked
right.
out or anything
right.
like that.
Could I finish what I'd like to say?
Sure, but, you know, I'm just letting you
okay.
know that unless we
have
that.
I'm going to address that.
Okay, good.
I'm
go
going
ahead.
To address that.
Go right ahead, then.
Okay. Again, this denial was done without any basis. I questioned the woman that said this, and it was appealed to Mr. Stellino. He, in fact, did the research and found there was no custody order, no order that I could not have any kind of prohibition on anything to do with my children's education. I questioned as to why this was done without any research, and he didn't fail to answer that question. He skirted around that issue. He did advise me I would receive copies of the file. Ironically, my estranged wife listed her live-in boyfriend as a guardian of the children, and no research was done as to why that was being done. Her boyfriend has had several charges brought against him, felony charges for domestic violence and other issues, which is not of the school's concern, but is surely of mine. And for the school to accept him as a guardian without any research on that end is unconscionable. I must point out to you, I'm sure you're all aware of the special education book that's issued by the state of New York. There is a provision in this book that says copies of my child's education records must be provided to me, and they must be reviewed. They are allowed to be reviewed. However, there is an exception to that, and it says copies can be provided if it is unreasonable for me to have to come into school, not unreasonable, but if it is a situation inconvenient for me to do that. Now, I was told it's going to be $35. I did have a discussion with Mr. Stellino, and he quickly escalated his voice in a condescending manner to me, which I find totally unacceptable. I then had a conversation with Mr. Murphy. Mr. Murphy confirmed that it's the school board's policy to charge a fee for a copying of a child's record. I find in this day and age, with taxes being what they want, and situations where families are broken up, that a father that comes into a school district and wants to participate in his child's education, even though he does not reside with the children, should be welcomed with open arms, not have roadblocks thrown in front of him. At this point, I would like those issues addressed, okay? And I also am presenting to the board two foils for information that I request on other matters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other visitors? Okay. You can give your information to our clerk. Yeah, and you filled out that paper, correct?
I do it now.
Okay, thank you. Before we move on and close the meeting, I want to thank Denise and Mike and Ronnie for being here. You know, I know you guys are here all the time, and I always say I'm going to thank you, and then I always think about it when I'm driving home. But that's what happens when you get old. Time chases all of us. But I thank you guys for showing up and for being here all the time, and I appreciate it. And Chris, you also. And are there any future agenda items? Okay, we got two down here. Go ahead, John, what's yours?
I'd like to see if we can get an updated report on the report card grading standards for the elementary schools. I know I had spoken to Jill about this. I know at the end of the first marking period, there was some differences the way each school graded their report cards. Of what would be considered, quote-unquote, an average student, a two or a three. And I know I received a couple of telephone calls, you know, from community members that were upset that, you know, their kids were, you know, average kids getting twos, and other schools, they were getting threes. So I just wanted to get a little update on that, maybe
okay.
In the next walking period.
Yes, Douglas.
We had discussed this a while back, or you sent an email about it, and it was in the newspaper about a month ago. I'd like to know if we could have a discussion on perhaps instituting a breathalyzer policy at Satrum.
Okay, we're going to do some research on that. I know we were looking into that, right? Is anyone else doing that? Do you know, Charlie, at this point?
What would you want the breathalyzer test for? I mean, you can just say walking into school or prom, dances, athletic events,
I think it would
band.
Be more of the special events. You know, my senior banquet was the one where we had a student who was intoxicated and urinated on the bus. That was my senior banquet. And I know from personal experience that, you know, there are a lot of people there that are intoxicated. So, you know, if we could talk about it at least, or could do some more research into it. I know Long Beach High School recently instituted a policy. I think that would be a good thing.
Was it There's a lot of issues, and we can look into it if the board has, you know, sees fit. I mean, it's a lot of work, so I'd like to see there's a majority of people who are interested in finding out this information.
How about legally, Chris? Are we allowed to, is the school allowed to do something like that? I had brought this up a couple of years ago because we, you know, similar concerns, but I you know, it didn't go anywhere. But, you know, with the recent newspaper article in Long Beach about Long Beach.
Yeah, Long Beach is one of our districts, actually. It's an area that's fraught with concern, and I'd like to address all the different legal issues and find out a little bit more specifically how exactly the district wants to do it and under what circumstances, and I can address the legalities of each of those concerns when we sort of narrow the focus of what we're talking about. You know, is it kids coming into the prom? Under what circumstances are you really looking to do it, and how we could implement such a thing legally? I mean, there are a lot of Fourth Amendment issues, and you know, we'd have to talk about it in detail.
Chris, is Long Beach moving ahead with this, do you know?
I'll check on that, Mike. It's not one of my districts. I'll double-check
on
that.
Doug, would you be okay with putting this on the back burner until we can get some research, you know,
and
see what's going on?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is everyone okay with that? Let's at least see what's going on and if we're going to put ourselves into, you know, into a precarious position with it. I mean, if it's something that we can do, and then, you know, we'll discuss it, and if the board's inclined to do so, then we will.
To be quite honest with you, I'm not really in favor of that. I think through observation, you know, the student's behavior, I think you can pretty much tell whether or not the student is intoxicated or not. And to go ahead to that extreme where we're giving kids breathalyzers, I'm really not in favor of that. So,
where's it going to stop then? If we're giving kids, then what about teachers? What about administrators? What about bus drivers? And at what point do we stop it? I just think it's a Pandora's box that we may not want to open.
One you'd really like to hear from John Alexak and Jim Nolan, the principal of our high school, to see if they even perceive it as a problem in their building. I mean, they have a very good hand on what the students do at these big events and what they don't do.
That's probably a great idea. Let's.
I'll give that, and I'll provide that to the board before we start going down a road that there may not even be the big problem. Yes, there are kids from event to event, a few that do some things, but it may not be the large majority of kids, and I don't think it is the large majority in this district.
Okay. Next meeting is January 23rd. Can I have a motion to go into exec session, please? John, second. Rob, all in favor? Thank you, Ed and Daniela, also for being here tonight.